Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, SEC has huge games on tap for week number 10, but we take a look back at week number 9. There was dynamic performances across the conference. We'll start in College Station. LSU held a 17-7 first half lead against Texas A&M as a 2.5-point underdog against the Aggies, but a tale of two halves. Texas A&M comes out of the half and dominates the matchup 38-23. The freshman phenom Marcel Reed rushes for 3 touchdowns on the ground, completes 2 of 2 for 70 yards en route to the double-digit win. Unbelievable by Mike Elko and Texas A&M getting that victory over LSU last Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a tale of two quarterbacks and two halves, because in the second half, Marcel Reed went in. And he is a runner, a fantastic, slick, fast, quick running quarterback. And he was 2 for 2 passing. But it was a tale of two quarterbacks, because Connor Wigman was not having a good day, 6 for 18, not getting much done. LSU was dominating at that point of the game. But what happened when Reed came in, they began to run the football. He led them to 4 straight touchdowns. And then 50 throws by the quarterback for LSU. He had 50 throws, Nussmeier. And what's interesting, Joe, is that when they played, the last great defense they played was Ole Miss. And though they won the game at the end, they couldn't run for 100 yards. They did not get 100. And they threw it 50 times and 2 interceptions. This game, they did not run for 100. They threw it 50 times. He threw 3 interceptions. At LSU, they have a problem that they've tried to hide it, I think. They're not as good a running team against good defenses, and they have to throw it too much. And that's what happened in that ball game with them. And then they didn't have a plan for the backup quarterback. Now, he started 3 games. He's a completely different quarterback. And I'm wondering, coaches, what were y'all doing? You needed to have a plan for the pocket thrower, but you must have a plan for that running quarterback. It looks to me like they had no plan for the backup quarterback. And somewhere in the spring or preseason, they didn't get that running game established like they should.
Yeah, that's a great point, Coach. I mean, they rushed for 1 yard per carry on 24 yards in the game. They were completely one-dimensional in the second half, long third downs. And entering that matchup, Garrett Nussmeier wasn't sacked all season long. That offensive line for LSU had protected him. But again, they got to him late in the fourth quarter, especially once they fell behind by double digits. They became completely one-dimensional, and the front seven of Texas A&M just pinned their ears back and got to him on multiple occasions. What I want to ask you, though, is you bring up Marcel Reed, right? Connor Wegman did only have 64 passing yards per game. Mike Elko, give him a lot of credit, because we don't see a lot of coaches turn to the backup for a spark, right? He did that with Marcel Reed, and clearly, to your point, Blake Baker and that defense were not prepared for that. Is that something from a coaching perspective, even though Marcel Reed wasn't the starter? He was the starter when they played Arkansas on a neutral field and pulled out that win 21-17. Shouldn't the defense been at least somewhat prepared? And would Blake Baker be responsible for that? Or is that on head coach Brian Kelly?
Well, I mean, Coach Kelly should have identified by watching the video as a head coach. I would watch all offense and all defense, and I would say, by the way, you better get ready for this or you better get ready for that. And I would have said right off the bat, we better have two parts of our practice where you work on the brought back passer, but you better be ready for that other fella. He comes in there and he can run that football. The question now becomes, is there a controversy at quarterback for Texas A&M? I don't think there has to be. I do think they ought to start Marcel as a quarterback. Right. They ought to make sure they've got a relief pitcher, a relief quarterback sitting on in the bullpen ready to go, mm-hmm. and make it both feel like they're important. Because that brings up a good point that I mentioned earlier. When a defense has to play two game plans for two different style quarterbacks, that takes away from one plan to give to the other plan. Not a bad situation to be in at Texas A&M. Even better than Texas, where they got two quarterbacks who mostly have the same style. These are two completely styled quarterbacks. You can kind of have two offenses any game you go into.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other factor for me that could be a weakness for LSU, even though it's a benefit, is Garrett Nussmeier. Because, again, in the game against Ole Miss, he only completes 47% of his passes, throws balls, I think sometimes forces balls into coverage against better defenses, more like a Brett Favre type of quarterback. You got to live with the high highs and the low lows. You never know what you're going to get. Now, he does typically bounce back from adversity, but this was an above average defense, right? It didn't look like Brian Kelly, for me, made halftime adjustments offensively either. But the bigger question is this: is LSU's season over, or can they rebound when they play Alabama next weekend, November 9th, and can they potentially still make the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, they've got it now. They have to beat Alabama, and they have to win out. We know that. And then the cards are going to have to fall because there's a lot of teams that are right around there with one or two losses in the SEC. But, again, I think for LSU, they made the mistakes, and too much blame is being put on Nussmeier. I think Brian Kelly in his post-game comments said, you know, when we throw it 50 times and we can't run the football, they're going to come after the quarterback. And they get a feel for how he throws, and the second half they get interceptions. He said, we made mistakes because we couldn't run the ball. And then when you couldn't run the ball, you couldn't protect it because you're throwing too much. So that's the point I was trying to make against Ole Miss and against A&M is LSU got into a situation where against a good defense, they don't run it well enough, and you put Nussmeier in a bad position where he's throwing way too many passes, and you can't win being one-dimensional. Let me say this. Texas A&M has now got to throw the ball a little more because they got a wingman that doesn't run but can throw, and Marcel Reed has not thrown that much. They've got to make sure they don't get away from the passing game to help their running game.
And we'll see how that plays out there. 2.5-point road favorites in Williams-Brice against South Carolina coming out of a bye week. We'll break down that game a little bit later in the show. LSU enters this week on a bye before Alabama, so we'll see how it plays out in a couple of weeks. The other matchup is the Alabama Crimson Tide. They lost a couple of weeks ago, having a 7-0 halftime lead against Tennessee. They got outscored, allowed 24 points in the second half of that matchup. They went back home to face a Missouri team that had only lost one game heading into last week. They were banged up at the quarterback position. Brady Cook and Nate Noel didn't play a majority of those snaps. Alabama dominates from start to finish, Coach. They win 34-0. They rush for 270 yards against the Missouri Tigers, a dominating offense and defensive effort. It looks like Alabama heading into the bye week in just the right fashion, dominating an SEC opponent.
Well, there are a few things. Remember last week we said if Cook didn't play or Nate Noel didn't play, that they're not going to stay close. They're not going to stay close because that's a huge part of their football team. And they tried to play a little bit. Cook tried to play a little bit, and he was out. And they couldn't keep up. But Alabama did two things. One, they cut their penalties down. They had a reasonable amount of penalties, and they had no turnovers. I mean, it's the undisciplined Alabama that wasn't very good. But you know what? Alabama still has the top talent in the country. They're in that Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon talent level. They've still got it, and they've got one of the premier quarterbacks. So if they'll do what they did against Missouri, eliminate the turnovers, eliminate the ridiculous amount of penalties, they can play with anybody. And I think when we saw them just totally destroy Missouri, we saw what they can do.
Yeah, and the biggest takeaway for me was the defensive side of the ball, holding Missouri to 3 of 13 in terms of third down conversions, forcing three interceptions against backup quarterback Drew Pine, even though Brady Cook did play limited, 7 of 12 for only 30 yards. Marcus Carroll and the rushing attack were inconsistent for Missouri. And again, we've seen Alabama this season, Coach, struggle at home. They struggled against USF. They struggled against South Carolina, struggled in the second half against Georgia to dominate and shut out Missouri. That's a dominant effort heading into the bye week. When Coach and I return, we'll dive into the SEC action for week number 10, coming right back on the Bowden Blitz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden diving into week number 10 in the SEC. We'll start with a rivalry game, Georgia and Florida. Georgia opened up as a 17.5-point favorite in Jacksonville. We're starting to see 16.5s across the board. Georgia, from the series perspective, has won three straight by an average margin of victory in the series of 24 points per game. Picked up this win last year, Coach, 43-20. Both teams coming out of a bye week. Georgia did get the dominating road win over Texas a couple of weeks ago, and we saw Florida get off the mat 48-20 over Kentucky. I got to believe Billy Napier and the Gators are playing with house money heading into this matchup, no?
No, I think so. I think you're exactly right. No one expects them to be able to play with Georgia, and that number is awful high, 16.5, for them going into this game. But Lagway, the freshman quarterback, the true freshman who's going to get the nod this week, he's very inexperienced. And I got this feeling Georgia's going to be all over that. They're going to pressure him. They're going to try to get him to make mistakes and put them in a bad situation, because with his inexperience, he's thrown 5 touchdown passes and had 5 interceptions. And I think when those eyes are going to get real big in the largest outdoor cocktail party in the world there in Jacksonville where they play. But I think what they're going to do is the key is you got to put pressure on that young quarterback, and this will be the biggest game of his career.
It will be. So with the week of preparation, Coach, with the bye week, how hard is it to implement a new type of scheme or maybe something that Georgia hasn't seen up until this point? And I bring that up because we saw Jalen Milroe in Alabama give that Georgia defense a little bit of thought and weakness, right? They struggled against Jalen Milroe in the first half of that matchup before they made adjustments. Is it possible for Billy Napier to throw in an added wrinkle with Lagway's mobility heading into this ballgame?
Well, I think the fact that Georgia knows what he can do, it's going to make it a little more difficult. But again, it's up to Georgia to make sure that gets done. But now that they're going with him all the way and the starter had the ACL and not able to play at all, I think Georgia will have a chance. Now, let me say this. If I'm a team playing in a big game and I'm the underdog, and I know I'm not supposed to win, I don't have quite as good a team, I'm much more likely to put in a little few wrinkles in. Do something different, run something that the other team won't see, take chances on defense. I think Florida is in a position where, one, they're the clear underdog, so they're the ones that got to change things. Georgia, on the other hand, they just want to play better the same way they've been playing, but just play at the top part of their glitch to play better this way at playing the same thing they always do. So I think what you got to see is a chance to see Florida put a few wrinkles in, but you can't change a lot that they don't already know about this quarterback.
Yeah, and they're 4-3 right now, right, Florida? So that's important for them to become bowl eligible. Potentially might save Billy Napier's job if he can eke out 6 or 7 wins, especially when you look at the preseason win total at 5.5 and knowing how they started the year, a blowout home loss to Miami. At least if you show progression in the second half of the season, maybe Billy Napier will be in Gainesville in 2025. One factor that I do want to bring up, because I do think it's critical for Georgia's success big picture, we saw Carson Beck, 175 yards a couple of weeks ago against Texas, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's been a little bit turnover prone this year compared to last year. Does that concern you heading into this matchup and beyond for the Georgia offense?
Well, it's not terrible, but it does concern me. He's got to get it across that they can lose an important ball game down the road if he has turnovers. He's had 8 already this year. He only had 6 for the entire season last year. So he's not having the game as far as not making bad throws. He's got to use good judgment. You know, I've always said that the two thing a quarterback has to have is poise and good judgment. It's poise under pressure and accuracy. He's got to show more poise, not throw those interceptions to help his team. He's got the team. If they don't make mistakes and turn the ball over, and if they don't give up big plays, they're going to beat Florida, and they're going to beat most everybody else on their schedule because they got a better football team.
Yeah, it could be a breakout performance for Georgia running back Trevor Etienne that was a member of the Florida Gators last year. Etienne coming off an 89-yard performance against Texas, multiple touchdowns on the ground. So we'll see how Georgia attacks that defense for Florida heading into this matchup. Let's look at the big matchup in Williams-Brice. We talked about Mike Elko and Texas A&M. They're on the road now as 2.5-point home favorites over South Carolina. Marcel Reed or Connor Wegman will get the start. Elko said it'll be a game-time decision. I sort of like South Carolina in this matchup, Coach. They're coming out of a bye week. They're playing with house money, and it's very difficult to win in Williams-Brice.
I think I like the numbers too on that game, but I think Texas A&M is coming off a huge ball game. They've had a lot of mental. You get kind of worn out on a game like that, and they've got to come back and make sure they play their best football. Because South Carolina is a pretty good dadgum football team. They play good football. They can beat anybody at home, and so Texas A&M has to make sure that they run the ball, throw it a little bit. They don't have the turnovers, and they don't give up the big plays because they're going to be a chance. They're in the driver's seat. They've got a chance to have a very special season. And, again, they finish the season up with Texas. It'll come a little later when they find things out. But they got to make sure that they go in there and play their football, don't turn the ball over, and give South Carolina a chance to beat them when they've got a better football team right now.
And this South Carolina defense is giving up only 18 points per game. They're very solid in run support, allowing only 101 rushing yards to opposing offenses, only giving up 196 yards in terms of the secondary and back end, have forced 10 interceptions this year, and have only given up 6 passing touchdowns. So it's not going to be easy for either Wegman or Marcel Reed in this ballgame.
No, and this is the kind of game Texas A&M's made for. They also have a great defense, and they've got a very strong front four up there at the front of their defensive line, and they can run the ball. You won't maybe run for tons, but you'll run enough to mix the pass in and win. I think this is the kind of game that Texas A&M is built for, is made for, and they'll play well. South Carolina will give them an outstanding football game, but I do think Texas A&M walks away with a victory.
And the last time South Carolina played, it was on the road in Norman. They get the dominating road win, 35-9 in that matchup. Coach likes Texas A&M. I like South Carolina in this matchup. We'll come back with more Bowden Blitz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi, Terry Bowden breaking down SEC football week number 10. Coach, one of the most intriguing matchups takes place at noon in Fayetteville. We got Ole Miss on the road, now with 7.5-point road favorites taking on Talon Green and the Arkansas Razorbacks. We saw Arkansas put up 58 points last week in Starkville. They win that matchup 58-25 over the Bulldogs. We saw Ole Miss struggle a little bit in the first half with Oklahoma. They pulled away in the second half to win that ball game 26-14 last year in Oxford. Ole Miss did get the victory 27-20. Coach, how do you see this game playing out on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'm not sure we'll see a whole lot more points, but I see the same team winning. Ole Miss, I think, is going to win. The thing is, Talon Green has done a great job. He's been kind of the spark of this Arkansas team. And Fayetteville's a tough place to play. Go ask Tennessee what happened when they went into Fayetteville. And I've coached there a couple of times. They've got a rowdy bunch of people. and this team has got a lot of confidence. But the key is that this is not your old Ole Miss football team. Back a few years ago, was they could score, but they didn't play defense. Well, this team's the number one defensive rush team in the country. They're very physical, and they have the perfect defense, I think, to keep Arkansas in check. And really, Ole Miss, really, they got to win. They got to win out. They got to win out just to have a chance to be still in the conversation about the SEC with two losses already. And I'll say this, because of their talent level, I put them in that category of those teams that really could be, maybe should be undefeated, because they have enough talent to beat everybody on their schedule that they played so far.
Yeah, to your point, they're only giving up 11 points per game, 76 rushing yards allowed against opposing offenses, only 2.1 yards per carry. They force teams into long, predictable third downs, playing very solid third down defense. So I agree with that assessment. The biggest thing, too, and takeaway from last week is that Trey Harris, their big play wide receiver, was a late scratch, did not play in the matchup. We saw Jackson Dart throw for 215 yards. Watkins, the other stellar wide receiver, stepped up, made enough plays. He had over 50 yards receiving in the ballgame. They just find ways to grind it out. And Jackson Dart, a dual-threat quarterback, they're going to need his mobility against that front seven in terms of Arkansas. But I'll say this about the Arkansas offense. Taylon Green accounted for 5 touchdowns last week. He did it on the ground with his legs. He did it through the air. This is an offense that is very balanced now heading into week number 10. And again, Sam Pittman is a coach, especially as an underdog, that always brings his lunch pail. They're always within the number. I like the Razorbacks plus the points in this matchup.
I'm with you on that. I do definitely like the Razorback in the points. I see a game much more the score of Ole Miss's past game with Oklahoma. But again, I do think both teams have solid defenses. Ole Miss clearly a more talented defense. Dart, I think, is one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the country. He's got an incredible quarterbacking skills. Trey Harris is a tough guy. He's been out for a while, or inconsistent or unhealthy for a while, and I do think that's one of the reasons they're not scoring as many points. But I think they're so strong on defense, and Dart always keeps them in the game that I don't see. I see them having just a little bit more offense than Arkansas has.
Yeah, they had 34 sacks, Coach, too, from a defensive perspective. They got to Jackson Arnold in the last 5 minutes of the ballgame. They sacked him 6 times over the last 5 minutes. They have 34 total sacks on the season. And if Ole Miss does, in fact, start fast, averaging 39 points per game, they could force Taylon Green and that offense to match them score for score, just the way LSU did a couple of weeks ago.
Well, if you think Ole Miss is going to score a lot of points, then I don't think Arkansas can be in the ballgame, because I don't see them scoring a lot of points. I think they've got to hope they do a great job in their secondary to keep the big plays, because Ole Miss loves to have the deep ball, the vertical play, the explosive play. And if they can eliminate those explosive plays, Arkansas is going to be in this game, especially with the spread.
Ole Miss picks up this victory. Still like the college football playoff, or do you feel like they're out of it at this point?
Now, I think you can probably talk your fans into thinking you're still there. It's going to be tough. Again, it's going to be tough for them to get into it with the teams that I see playing so well. With the Texas A&M, they've got to knock off Texas A&M for a head-to-head. You still got Georgia out there with one loss, Texas with one loss. You've got to, it's going to be kind of anybody with two losses. I'm not so sure they wouldn't take Texas A&M with two losses unless it's to Ole Miss. So I think there's enough chance for them to make it, for their fans to be in the discussion and their team to be a discussion, because I've said before the season that a 2-loss SEC team ought to have a pretty good chance of getting it, because at the end of the day, there's probably going to be 4 SEC teams.
We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz. Have a great week, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.